Discover personally how the Word of God can affect a change in your life through the ministry of Bishop Dykewood Mills. Dykewood Mills is the founder of the Lighthouse Chapel International, a denomination with over 2,000 branches worldwide. He is a healing evangelist and the author of several best-selling books. He is also the pastor of the First Love Church, a campus ministry with over 200 branches. The First Love Church is a vibrant church with young, energetic people, full of first love for the Lord. Now listen to Dykewood Mills. That draws us to.
Hi, everybody. I wanna talk to you. I wanna tell you what I've been going through. I think I have a problem, and you may have it too. There's a guy who's chasing. He keeps chasing me. He keeps calling and talking. Don't know what to do. He says, baby, I love you. I wanna be with you. I love to hear it. I love it when I hear I love you. I love to hear it. I love it when I hear I miss you. I know you love to hear it too. You love it when you hear I want you, but I've been thinking to myself, is this love that I'm feeling? Is this love that I'm feeling? I tell you some more about what I'm going through. I think I'm falling, falling in love with this guy. He says, baby, I love you. Whoa-oh. I wanna be with you. We'll sleep together all night long. I'll feel your arms. Give you all my love. I said, hey, wow. 'Cause I didn't know what to say. It set me thinking, thinking to myself, is this love that I'm feeling? Is this love that I'm feeling? And so I went to my pastor and told him everything. 'Cause of the way I was feeling deep down in my heart, I was falling. But my pastor said to me, if he loves you, he will not sleep with you. No, but he will love you and treat you right. 'Cause love is patient and love is kind. And if he loves you, really loves you, he will wait for you until you marry. Oh yeah. When he can have his way. Today I'm happy, so happy, that I ask the question, is this love that I'm feeling? things I want to tell you. What you need to do, don't follow your feelings. And the lust of the eyes, and the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life, but love with action. Oh yeah, indeed and in truth. And always ask the question. You want to know the question? Say, what kind of love is this? Hey, is it real? Is this love? Is this real? Is this love that I'm feeling? Ask yourself, is this real? Is this love? Is this real? Is this love that I'm feeling? Because greater love, greater love, greater love hath no man than this. Jesus love, Jesus love, Jesus love is the love that you really need. Jesus love, Jesus love, Jesus love is the love that you need. Is this love, 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 love that I'm feeling? You need to ask yourself, is this love, 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 love that I'm feeling? You need to talk to your pastor. Love, love, love that I'm feeling. Oh, is this love, love that I'm feeling?
It's time for testimony. Say amen. This morning, I believe God is making us wiser through the testimonies. Do you believe it? Hallelujah. Please let's welcome Charlene to give us her testimony. Put your hands together as we welcome Charlene. Sorry, LP Charlene.
Hallelujah. Amen. My name is Charlene Tongli from TFCT campus. And I'm the member of the choir. Amen. Amen. My testimony is about how God blessed me with a tablet through the prayer of our father, Bishop Darkibald Mills. Amen. For a long time now, I've been wanting a tablet because I really, really wanted to be a pastor. Amen. And so I started saving to buy a tablet. And then last month, when Daddy was preaching about the presence of God, he says that we should write 3 things that we want God to do for us, and he will do it in 3 months. And just last week, someone blessed me with a new tablet, and that's why I'm here to share my testimony. I want to say a very big thank you to Daddy for the prophecy and the prayers. And also, I want to encourage every one of us here to believe the prayers because they are really working. Amen.
Amen. Why don't you put your hands together for a powerful testimony? Do you believe that what you wrote, that you get it in 3 months? Then shout your biggest amen. We have another testimony. Let's welcome Erasmus to give us testimony. Oh, why don't you encourage him?
Hallelujah. I'm Erasmus Kluche. I'm from Legon, Penn City campus. During the camp, Daddy invited all dead people are still alive to give his testimony. And he made a statement. He said, those who are hiding their past and think that they were born as angels, like, that statement just struck me. That's what has motivated me to give this testimony. After high school in 2013, I was into drinking. I was into smoking. I was into fornication. I was into pornography. I was into masturbation. Yeah, and it continued when I got to level 100. So one day, I received a knock on my door inviting me for midweek service. That's in Kwapon. I didn't go, but then they kept coming every week. And finally, I went. When I went to my twisted hair with my camo shorts, I was just sitting there listening to what they were preaching. And I related to what they were preaching so much, to the extent that when they come calling me the next week, I still go. I still go. And then even though I go, I was still going for the parties. I was still doing the drinking. If they come and call me on Wednesday, perhaps on Sunday, I can't go because I'll wake up with a hangover. But then, as time went on, even though I go for the parties, I still go for the service. And when I was moving to level 200, I was moving from Kwapong to Pent with a primary motive. I wasn't planning on being serious in church. But then when I went, I met a new circle of friends who were first lovers. And though I joined the church, I didn't want to be departed from the messages I hear. I was still interested in them. So I was going, I just realized for some time that I can't go to the club again. I stay in the church. I'm blessed. Because even before I joined the church, I was having issues with my parents. I was fighting with them, quarreling here and there. But now, I'm a darling boy. Yeah. And by God's grace, now I'm an elder in the church. And all I want to say is that thank you, God. And I want to say a big thanks to Daddy for saying yes to God when he called him. And I thank him so much for planting churches. Because if there was no church in Kwapong, I wouldn't have gone for that midweek service. And I would like to say thank you very much, and God richly bless you. And to everyone, we all have problems. It's difficult. The devil will go for a season, but he'll come back again. And if you find yourself doing what you used to do, do not go back to it. Know that you can come back to God. And as time goes on, you will find yourself not doing it again. And you stay in church. Amen.
Amen. What a powerful testimony. Put your hands together for a powerful testimony. We have another testimony. Let's welcome Jeffrey to give us his testimony.
Wow. Hello, my name is Jeff Jasonaya. I'm from the island called Fiji. My testimony is about how Daddy has, the planting of churches. Daddy has never forgotten Fiji. Fiji is a very small country, and it's close to Australia and New Zealand. For those who don't know, where's Fiji? Okay, so my testimony is about how Daddy has, how the planting of churches has helped my life. 4 years ago, I didn't know who God was, or who Jesus was, or what was Lighthouse. Until I was on one Sunday evening, I was lying down on bed, and my mom came and he said, "Son, you know what? I've been attending a church called Lighthouse Chapel International. It has really seized my heart. I've learned so much. The teachings are so clear." So I had to believe my mom because she was a heavy smoker herself. She was a manager in a club, a very well-known club in my country. So I said, "Okay, mom, I will follow you next Sunday." So Sunday came, I went with her to church. And my Reverend Andrew Kwekwose, he taught on a title called the blood of Jesus. When he was sharing about the blood, I got to know who God was, who Jesus was, and how I owe my life to worship this God. And now I gave my life the same day, and now I find myself in a Bible school in Mampong. I believe wherever that I'll be sent after my course, someone is waiting there who doesn't know God, who doesn't know Jesus. Daddy, thank you so much. Thank you, Daddy.
What a powerful testimony. Why don't you give the Lord a shout of praise? Amen. We have another testimony. Let's welcome Henry to give us his testimony. Please encourage him as he comes on stage.
My name is Henry Adams Central Mataiko, and I am a dancing star. I came to Ghana in the year 2013 with an instruction from my mom to look for a Catholic church around my place. So I got a Catholic church in my area. I went for 2 weeks, but I wasn't really feeling it because 90% of the mass, which is service, was conducted in Chui. So I wasn't really feeling it. Then 3 weeks after, I met my shepherd, Pastor Wisdom, who is currently in Russia having a church. So he introduced me to the church. Then the first week, I went to the church and I heard a scripture that I haven't heard all my life. And I usually feel bad if I don't know something I'm supposed to know. So I decided to join the church and I started coming. He brought me to First Love. I started coming. I heard that they preach. Then I became serious. I became a shepherd. And my first holiday, I went back to Nigeria. That was December 2014. Then there was an issue in my family that my mom wanted everyone to give their opinion and to get a solution to. So everyone spoke. All my sisters spoke. I'm the youngest. Everyone spoke. Then my mom asked me to speak. And I spoke. I quoted some one or two scriptures why things should be done this way and why things should be done this way and why it shouldn't be done this way. Then everyone was quiet. Then after a few seconds, my mom asked all my sisters that, does anyone have anything to say? They were like, no, that I have said it all. And looking at, I remember Bishop usually says that the wisdom of God is different from the wisdom of men. Because looking at the age of all my sisters, the youngest of them all seniors me with about 7 years. So it is definitely not an earthly wisdom, but wisdom from God. So I was encouraged by the same mom that said I should look for a Catholic church. I was encouraged to be faithful in the church I belong and I should listen to my preacher. And it didn't end there. With her advice, I came back to Ghana. I became an elder. I became serious in church. And to cut the testimony, church, I went back to Nigeria again 3 months ago. And my sister, who just had a baby, told me something that really touched me. She said, we are not getting any pastor to conduct this naming ceremony. You will be the pastor to conduct this naming ceremony just because coming to Ghana. So I want to thank you, Daddy. You have been a blessing to me. You've really impacted my life. And I owe everything to you. Thank you very much. And I'm advising every one of you, this is a good church. You have to stay in this church because looking at my life back then, I didn't know any scripture. I didn't know any scripture, but coming to this church, I've learned a lot. I've written exams through with the help of Chief Nana, Elder Yemi, everyone, my friends, everyone. They've been a blessing to me. Thank you very much, Daddy. God bless you.
Amen. Why don't you give the Lord a shout of praise? We have our final testimony. Let's welcome Tara to give us his testimony. Please put your hands together as we welcome Tara Clote.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. My name is Tara Clote. I'm from First Love Town Church. I'm with the Sound Ministry. Okay, my testimony is about how through the teachings of our Father, Bishop Dagwood Mills, I was saved back on campus. I grew up in North Kaneshi and Bubashi, where the norm is to chase girls, drink, smoke, do all sorts of things. So I'm guilty of all these sins. But thankfully, I did not do drugs. But I remember on the 10th of October, when I was in my first year, there was a Healing Jesus Crusade on campus on the Saba field. And I remember that night, I was supposed to go to a party at Tops and Tails, which was a strip club. So I didn't have anything to do, so I decided to pass time at the grounds.
What's a strip club?
A strip club is a club where you have naked and half-naked women dancing. Yeah. So, all right, so I went to the Saba field and not with the intention to listen. And I remember very well that I couldn't remember anything that he said. All I remember was he said that your life is like a chicken and you can die anytime. And I don't know what happened, but I found myself in front. And by the time I realized, I was crying, I was really, really weeping. And I was trying hard to stop myself from weeping because people knew me. But the harder I tried, the more I wept. And since that day, I gave my life to Christ, and by the grace of God, I was fervent for 4 years. But the second part of my testimony is when I finished the university, and then I dropped out, and I completed, and I began to chase money. Money became like my idol. So gradually, I lost a sense of who I was, and I realized that I was going back to the things that I used to do. Thankfully, someone invited me to. I have a lot of friends here, but someone invited me to Town Church, and I saw Pastor Joshua preaching powerfully. So I kept on coming, and I remember one Sunday here, he preached about the atmosphere. And I remember very well that during that time, I was working on a deal. I was working with the record label and wanted this deal. And then the day before he preached that sermon, we had got the deal, but I was feeling iffy about it. So I decided to speak to Pastor Joshua about it. But that Sunday when I came to church, he preached about the same thing I was going to ask him. So then I was here, and I started weeping again. Like, I cry a lot. So I started weeping, and after the service, I spoke to Pastor Joshua, and I told him that God richly bless you. So when I'm standing here today, and I'm testifying, I'm thanking God. Sorry. One last thing. And then I joined the Fruitful Believers class, and there's this one scripture that is my favorite right now, which is Galatians 4:18, which says that, but it is a good thing to be zealously affected in all good things. And because of that, I've become zealously affected in all good things. I'll come. So the Fruitful Believers, I'm encouraging everyone to join the lay school. I mean, before I joined the church, I thought, which kind of church you come from mornings to leave me? Why? Like, I didn't understand the wisdom behind what our father was doing. But after a few weeks, I mean, I want to stay. I want to fellowship here. So I just want to thank Bishop so much. I want to thank our father for his wisdom. And then for the outreach campaigns. If not for the outreach campaign, I wouldn't have been born again. Amen. So I want to thank Bishop so much. I want to thank our father. He's been a blessing to me. And I'm sure he's been a blessing to all of you too.
Amen. It's time for the word of God. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm so excited because I believe God has a word for you and I. And if you're excited, make some noise as we welcome our Father Bishop Dagewood Mills.
Hallelujah. Father, thank you so much for this opportunity. Today, guide us by your mighty spirit, we pray, in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. You may be seated. We are pressing on. The rain has held us up a little, but I believe the Bible says everyone that appears in Zion goes from strength to strength. So once you have appeared in Zion, you are going to be stronger. Amen. Everyone that appears in Zion goes from strength to strength. Psalm 84 and verse 7. Amen. So once you've appeared, you are going from strength to strength. Amen. Today I am sharing with you about serving God. What it means to be a special servant of God. Part 3. Now, the main thing, and today's message is very short. Maybe one of the shortest yet we've ever had. But the main thrust of the message, and the main message I want you to get, is that you do not have to be a full-time priest to be a servant of God. You do not have to be a full-time priest to be a servant of God. All right? Martha, come to me. You do not have to be a full-time priest to be a servant of God. Now, what does it mean to be a servant? What does it mean to be a servant? It means to render assistance or to be of use. To render assistance or to be of use. To render assistance or to be of use. Amen. How many want to be of use to God? Yes. So that's what it means to be a special servant, to be of some use to God. Amen. And so if you go out of this place deciding that I'm going to be of use to God, I'm going to be of some use to God, you would have taken the best decision of your life. Yes. And the benefits you will never stop reaping. The benefits of deciding to be of use to God. Amen. Number two, I would say that number one would be to render assistance. So when you assist the church, you are a servant of God. When you assist God's people, God's work, you are a servant of God. Number two, to be of use, isn't it? Now these are definitions in the dictionary. It's not like I'm trying to create something. Number three, to be in the service of something. So to be in the service of God, you are a servant of God once you are in his service. So priests are also included. Priests are included. Okay? Then number four, to contribute to something makes you a servant. So when you contribute to something, you are a servant of that thing that you are contributing to. So that is why people who contribute and give money also, give time, contribute items, they are servants of God. All right? And so you are going to be a great servant of God. Job 36, verse 11. Job 36 and verse 11. It says, if they obey him and if they serve him, they shall spend their days in prosperity and their years in pleasures. Amen. If they obey him and if they serve him, they shall spend their days in prosperity and their years in pleasures. Pleasures. That's why I want all of you to learn how to swim. Because when you don't know how to swim, you can't go to the beach to enjoy holidays at the beach. You can't go swimming with your virtuous wife. You can't go to a swimming pool and sit down by the pool and eat a hamburger and go back into the pool and come out and eat chips. You can only watch as people are jumping around and swimming and seem very happy. How can Job 36 verse 11 be fulfilled? Where is the pleasure? When you serve God, you spend your days in prosperity. Prosperity. So there is no need to try to find prosperity, but rather make sure that your service to God is never compromised. Make sure about that. Your service to God is never compromised. You can work, you can do whatever, but your service to God must not be ever tampered with. You tell people, you can do this, you can do it, but this one, I beg you. You know. And you see, we have to learn from our brothers who have other religions, you find out that there are some things they don't compromise. It's time for me to pray. They will do it in the plane. So no, I believe in God. So Christians many times do not realize when their blessing is being taken away from them. The blessing of serving God, never let anybody take it away from you. That's your key to prosperity. Through serving God, you will hear keys on prosperity. You can't stay in church and you can't stay in the house of God without receiving some kind of guidance for your life practically. I find Christ the most practical. You know, I don't like impractical things. I'm a more practical person. I don't like things that are not real. Too much formalities and rituals. You know, I didn't like church before I found Christ. Church I didn't like. That's why I don't know how to sing hymns. I don't know any hymn except one or two. Oh, come, oh, ye faithful, and Amazing Grace. But my wife knows all the hymns. You see her singing. The whole day she's singing. Because she went to Wesley Girls. And they teach them hymns. But I don't know hymns. Because I didn't like church. Why didn't I like church? Because I found church not real. When the priest comes and starts saying something, oh Lord, did we devour and the Son and the Holy Ghost? Amen. Go in peace and serve the Lord, all ye faithful. Hey, it looked very far to me. It's like God looks very, like the things of God, it looks boring and doesn't look real. Yeah. But you see, when I found Christ, I found something real that affects me genuinely. Oh yes. There can never be you serving God without it affecting something about your life. Yes. It's that's how it is. It's people who don't know Christ. You know, that's why you know, people say, when I came to, I could understand preaching for the first time. Because you are expecting to hear something you don't understand. Once you don't understand it, it is preaching. It's church. Hey! But if they serve God, if they serve God and they obey Him, they will spend their days in prosperity. That means that the things that you need to know that will make you a prosperous person, somehow, through serving God, you will know about them. And the things that will make you know how, even pleasures. One of the things that I enjoy doing is playing golf. Where did I learn? My father never played golf. No. But I heard Yonggi Cho, the pastor, speaking about it. I heard him speaking about how he had a heart problem. And his Japanese doctor told him that, he asked him, what work do you do? He said, I am a pastor. He said, you can do 10 more years if you play golf. Yes. And walk. Yeah. 30 minutes walking is very important for your heart health. He's Japanese too. So I didn't go for a fitness class. Neither was I interested in health. I was listening to preaching. And then I heard the man talking about this. I said, wow. I was serving God. So as you come to church, you hear about swimming. You see that? you start buying a swimming suit. And one day people will see you and say, hey, you Kumasi boy, look at you swimming now. They'll ask you, where do you come from? That you say you are going swimming. I see you there. So look at verse 12. Job 36, verse 12. Verse 12. But if they obey not, this is what the one they don't read. If they obey not, they shall perish by the sword, and they shall die without knowledge. When you don't serve God, you are deprived of knowledge, and you are destroyed. So, decide to obey God, and you see that all kinds of knowledge are coming to you. Oh yes. To contribute to. Number five, to promote means to serve. To be a servant is to be a promoter of something. Once you promote God, you promote the church, you promote Christian things, you are a servant of God. And Job 36 verse 11 is applying to you. The next one is to act as a host. A servant is someone who acts as a host or a hostess. They serve tea and cake to their guests. That's the example given in the dictionary. They serve tea and cake to their guests. So when you are a host or a hostess, hosting, like there are, as our crusade team is in Zimbabwe now, there are people hosting them. There are people who have said, don't rent anywhere. Stay here. There are places we've been. When we arrive, they host. There's such people are servants of God. They are hosting. They serve tea and cake to their guests. This is the example in the dictionary. The next one to serve is to provide with a regular or continuous supply of something. Regular and continuous supply of something is to serve. That's what it means to serve. It means to provide a continuous and regular supply of something. So when God is using you to provide a regular supply of money, of time, of your energy, of your skills, regularly provide. You know, our lights, the lights we have in the church, few lights we have, it's not for us. Somebody provides this light. He said, I'm providing continuously without charging us. Yes. It's to be a servant. Amen. What a blessing. And finally, it means to gratify the desires, the wants, and the needs of something or somebody. To gratify the desires, the wants, and the needs of someone, of something. So when you are a servant, you gratify the desires, the needs, and the wants of the person. Amen. Is that not a blessing? Yes. So being a servant of God, you do not have to be a priest or a full-time priest or a full-time worker to be a special servant of God. I hope you're getting it into your coconut. Are you getting it into your coconut? Yes. You do not have to be in a full-time work in the church before you are a servant of God. Okay? And never forget that. You know, it is because we don't have enough people who are not in full-time ministry serving God, providing the needs and desires and wants of the church and of God, that the church is operating at a lower, much lower capacity than it actually can. Yes. Now, let me show you some people. And as soon as I finish showing you, we share the grace and we go home. People who are called servants of God. Number one, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were called servants of God. None of them were pastors. None of them were pastors. Exodus 32 and verse 13. Exodus 32. They were rather multi-millionaires and businessmen. And in this prayer, Moses was praying and he said, "Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, thy servants, to whom thou swearest by thine own self, and says unto them, I will multiply your seed as the stars of heaven, and all the land that I have spoken of, and I will give it to your seed, and they shall inherit it forever." And the next verse. "And the Lord repented of the evil which he thought to do unto his people." Why? Because he was asked to remember his servants. Now, what was the business of Abraham? What work was he doing? He was a shepherd. They were shepherds. When they went to Egypt, they told them, listen, that they were shepherds. They were all shepherds. Do you see? Is it not amazing? Shepherds who, not spiritual shepherds like we are, but people were following goats, cows, sheep. You see, and Pharaoh said unto his brethren, "What is your occupation?" And they said unto Pharaoh, "Thy servants are shepherds, both we also and our fathers." They were into agricultural engineering, animal husbandry. Bishop Prince, stand up. What course did you do?
Animal science.
Animal science. And you went to Norway?
Yes.
To study?
Animal science.
So then you are just like Abraham?
Yes.
Isaac and Jacob?
Yes.
Were you looking after cows?
Cattle and sheep, yes. Cows and sheep, yes.
That was his work.
Injecting them, inseminating them to become pregnant. Then you look after them to give birth, take their blood, check for diseases that can spread through other animals. Then multiply them, prepare them for the market, sell, bring back stock, then start to increase them again.
Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That's just as they were. Yes. And they were called servants of God. Where is Tara, the gentleman who gave the testimony? Is it Tara? Where are you? Aha, yes. You see, you can still serve God. Now that you are, I don't know what work you are doing. He gave a beautiful testimony. That suddenly money was coming, becoming. You see, it is about the position. Which one is important in your life? I have always been a servant of God. When I was a student, once I found Christ, that was it. I don't have anybody. No one controls me, only God. The word of God. I'm a servant. And that's going to be your testimony too. Whether you are whatever. What is the definition of a servant? To do what? Number one is what? To render assistance. Anybody who assists me to serve God is a servant of God. Yeah. He's a servant of God. If you assist me, you are a servant of God. If you are of use, the next one is what? To be of use. If you are of use in the church, you are a servant of God. Yes. If you're of use. Yesterday there were people trying to sweep up this place and clean. There's so much work here because it's a construction site. But there are people that are of use. Their presence is of use. I didn't say coming to charge money for things. We have a lot of people who charge. But you can come. We have enough. You can come and be of use to the church and to God. Hallelujah. And what's the third definition? To do what? To be of service. And the fourth definition, to contribute something. Wow. Isaiah 41 verse 8. I'm sure you are feeling that these days I'm only quoting from the Old Testament. But don't worry. I used to quote only from the New Testament. So we have to read the whole Bible. But thou, Israel, my servant Jacob, whom I have chosen, the seed of Abraham, my friend. He calls Abraham his friend. Verse 9. Thou whom I have taken from the ends of the earth and called thee from the chief men thereof and said unto thee, thou art my servant and I have chosen thee and I have not cast thee away, my servant. I will always like to be of use to the house of God. So those of you who just come and sit down, receive, spoil the chairs. You see, we are about to get new chairs. And some of you may be putting chewing gum on the chairs. Your trousers or whatever may be dirty. You come and brown the chair. Put various things. Spoiling the chairs. That's all that you do. No, you must render assistance and be of use. If you are useless from today, I declare the life of uselessness is over in Jesus' name. You are declared useful to God. You are going to be of great assistance to the church and to God. Amen. All right? Now look at Isaiah 41 verse 8. I like that one because I want you to see something. Verse 8. It says, but thou, Israel, art my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, and the seed of Abraham, my friend. So you see, God has different relationships. He calls somebody his friend. He calls somebody his servant. He asked Abraham, he called him his friend. He said, Abraham, my friend. Jacob was my servant. Abraham was my friend. Now, even me, in my small life, there are people who are my servants, but are also my friends. Yes. You can't be serious all the time. Is it not true? You have to have the time of that you are not so serious about something. Hey! So with Abraham, he called him. He said, this is my friend. One day God will call you his friend. That is even higher than being a servant. Wow! That's even higher than being a servant. But you can see that God, he looks at people and says, this one is my servant. This one is my friend. This one is my servant. This one is my enemy. Enemies of God. He said, and thou hast that woman Jezebel, whom I also hate. Whom thou hatest and I also hate. There are people that God hates. You will be called a servant of God. I would like to serve God and be useful. Yes. To him. Amen. Number three. How many people do you have who are servants of God? But I gave you, that's only one point. One. Is there three? They are relatives, please. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Number two, Moses. The head of state. The founder of a country. The writer of laws, which are used today in many nations, jurisprudence, equity, thought, all of them are come from the books of Leviticus, Exodus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. All those aspects of law, they're all taught by Moses and are the foundations and the basis for many of the laws all over the world. Joshua 1, verse 7. I'm proving to you that there are people who are servants of God. They are not priests. They are not full-time pastors. Joshua chapter 1, verse 7. It says, only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Underline, Moses, my servant. I've already shown you Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, his God's servants. Now I'm showing you Moses, the servant of God. Many times throughout the Bible, it's referred to as God's servant. God called him my servant. Only be thou strong and courageous to do all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from the right or from the left, that you may prosper whither thou soever goest. Yeah. Head of state, founder. So Kwame Nkrumah could have also been a servant of God. I don't know if he was. Who is the founder of Kenya? Jomo Kenyatta. Yeah. He could have been a servant of God. He could have been. I don't know if he... That's why when in Rejoiner's book, The Final Quest, he saw on the thrones, the high places, the great thrones, missionaries were there, pastors were there, and kings were also there, and some businessmen were there. He said it. If you like, you can read The Final Quest. He saw all of these people. Moses, the founder of a country, a nation. You see him when you go to heaven. On a throne. Yes. Moses, my servant. Moses, my servant. Kwame Nkrumah could have been a servant. Jomo Kenyatta could have been a servant of God. I don't know if they were. Please. That's why I will not even say whether I think. Even what I think, I will not say. I'm just asking the question. You can find out the answer because you all know more things. Some founders of nations were idol worshippers, worshipping gods and idols, and some were communists, not believing even in the existence of God. Like the Soviet Union, I don't know whether Lenin and Stalin, who came together to form that communist country, China, the governor of Qi. China was divided into five huge areas. One of them was Qi. And he fought all the others and united them. Called it China. China. Yeah. Yeah. All these people could have been servants of God like Moses was. But many of them did not serve God. Head of state. Not head of state. I'm coming to head of state. He's a head of state, but a founder of a country. Yes. Like the first president. Yes. That's Kwame Nkrumah, Jomo Kenyatta. What about Julius Nyerere in Tanzania? Julius, who in Nigeria? Azikiwe. Nigerians, tell me, you are Nigerians? What's his name? Dr. Nambiazi. Azikiwe. Azikiwe. Dr. Azikiwe. He could have been a servant of God. But I don't know. You tell each other privately whether these people were servants. Tell them God. I don't want to say in the mic, somebody will say that, I said this man is not a servant of God. You don't know about them. People were serving gods. Yes. Gamel Nasa, Egypt. Yes. So these are businessmen, farmers, businessmen. God calls them his servants. You will be called his servants. Number three, kings. David was also a servant of God. David was called a servant of God. A head of state. Oh. 2 Samuel chapter 7 verse 1. And it came to pass when the king sat in his house that the Lord had given him rest about from all his enemies, that the king said to Nathan the prophet, "See, I'm living in a house of cedar, but the ark of God dwelleth within curtains." And Nathan said to the king, "Go and do all that is in thine heart, for the Lord is with thee." And it came to pass that night that the word of the Lord came unto Nathan the prophet. So David, you see, you think that David was the prophet, but David was clearly a secular leader. And that's why he called the prophet and tell him, "Look, this is what I want to do. I want to build a church. I want to build a church." David said, "I want to build a church. I know I'm the head of state. But I want to build a church. I want to render assistance to the priests and the work of God. I want to build a church and I want to be of use. I'm so blessed. I want to be of use." And then the night God spoke to Nathan the prophet and he came. Listen to the introduction. Verse 5. "Go and tell my servant David, thus saith the Lord, thou shalt build me a house to dwell in." You going to build a house for me? Huh. "Whereas I've not dwelt in any house." And he started to talk, and then at the end of it, he told David that, "Look, your son will sit on the throne." You see, it's not easy for your son to do well. You may desire for your son to do, but he will not do well. And your sons, all of them, you see, when you go through the sons of David, a lot of amazing, different ones. Well, they were the good things. They served the Lord, but not as much as David, their father. Yes, but the kings of Israel, they were really some way. Judah and Israel. Different kings. Yes. "When thy days be fulfilled, thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, and I will set up thy seed." I say I'll do it. Yeah. So he said, "Go and tell my servant," you know, the head of state. "Go and tell the head of state." Who's my servant? "Go and tell the president." "Go and tell the president my servant." Can we say that the presidents of nations are servants of God? It's a question which you have to answer in your multiple choice examination. Privately, I cannot answer that question in a microphone. Yes. Are they servants of God? You see, that's what I'm telling you, that the fact that God wants you to serve him is not to say that he doesn't want you to go and work or go to school. Yes. That is not the meaning. That is not what it means. "I have been a servant of God since I was in Achimota school. And I'm still serving him. Collecting a salary or being paid is the least thing on a person who wants to serve God. You don't think about money. You don't think of what you are going to get. Cannot be. Cannot be. I know that I was asking God, "Lord, how much are you going to give me? You think I didn't know how much Methodist priests and others were saying? My mother-in-law was the vice president of the Methodist church. My wife's mother, vice president. I know a lot about Methodist church through her. Even up to now, she brings me CDs of Methodist pastors. I just put it somewhere today. And Methodist books, always she gives me. When she has a conference, then she brings to me. Yeah. This one is a son of a Methodist pastor. They bring you your toilet roll, isn't it?
They bring the toilet roll, they bring the cutlery, they bring the plates. Everything is provided for.
For who? For the
pastor, for the president.
They come and check your toilet roll. Yes. That's how they treat them. Can you imagine if someone's coming to check your soap? Do you check soap as well?
Well, everything is provided. Everything. And they check if it's finished for a month, then the supplies are brought in for the month, and they'll come with a pen, paper, tick.
They go around the house.
Go around the house, check. They'll come and count the cutlery.
So you and your brothers, you didn't want to be priests?
Oh, not at all.
Why?
From what we saw, our parents, what we thought wasn't correct, wasn't good. We didn't think there was respect. Actually, my eldest brother told me, and I told my wife this, that once we were sitting up chatting with him, he said, if we grow up and any of us become a priest, when he sees us, he'll hit us with his car. That's how much we didn't like the priesthood.
If any of their brothers becomes a priest, he will take his car to knock him. That's what he was trying to say in English. Do you think that when I was trying to become a priest, I was trying to find out how much toilet roll will you give me, Lord? How much soap will you give me? I just want to serve God. And I'm serving him. I'm so glad I'm serving him. Most of the people close to me are serving God. Yes. In fact, one day somebody warned the wife, warned their husband, don't be close to him because you can easily become a servant of God. He was warning the husband, be careful, don't get close to this man. King David. Oh, do you love David? Do you love David? Do you love David? Charlie, a king, oh, very well now with many wives. Hey! Polygamists are also servants of God. Number four. Zerubbabel, the governor of Judah and the leader of exiles, who was a governor of a group of people. Haggai chapter 2 verse 23. In that day, saith the Lord of hosts, will I take thee, O Zerubbabel, my servant. O Zerubbabel. You remember Zechariah was prophesying to Zerubbabel. O Zerubbabel, this mountain shall become a plain. O Zerubbabel. It was the prophet was speaking to the king to encourage him. O Zerubbabel, don't worry, don't worry. The foundation you've laid, you finish it. The headstone, you come. Zerubbabel, don't worry. Don't worry. And Haggai too, he called himself my servant. You see, because sometimes people who are not pastors can do even more to contribute to the work of God than even pastors. Yes, but they don't. They feel that I'm a businessman, I'm a this, I'm a this, and I'm a that. So that they can wake up and contribute more to make the church and the kingdom of God go far. But they don't. They feel, you see them promoting politics. NPP and NDC, and they will spend heavily to push such things. Oh yes. When you see the money that they spend for election, I mean, you only questions come to your mind. Where is it from? How do they have it? You don't see people giving much to the church. Yes. Now, who were those walking around here last night? Medical students, other making communion, cleaning, arranging things, trying to clean up, trying to help to whatever. Poor people, people who have nothing, serving God. Yes. Many times people who are blessed and God puts them in positions of kings, businessmen like Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, they don't push the kingdom as they could. But you will. Amen. You will. And God will call you his servant. He will say, this man is my servant. He's my servant. And you know, today I want to tell you something. I am surprised at the people God is calling his servants. How many are also surprised? Like, Charlie, I thought that he would mention, Isaiah and, this wild prophet. But he's not mentioning such people today. He's not mentioning all these wild, wild guys. He's mentioning polygamists. Keep watching. How many realize that your name can be added to this list? Is it not fantastic? It's fantastic. Turn to Job chapter 1. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was perfect and upright, one that feared God. There were born unto him 7 sons, 3 daughters, 10 children all. His substance was also 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 she asses, a very great household. So that this man was the greatest of all the men of the East. The richest man in Asia. And whenever such people start to serve God, you feel the difference. That is why people, certain people are mentioned in the Bible. Nicodemus is mentioned. Joseph of Arimathea is mentioned. You know, such certain characters, it doesn't go without. Because most people don't love God and don't fear God and don't serve God. So when occasionally you get some people who say, I'm taking my kingship, I'm taking my business, I'm taking my life, I'm taking my opportunity, my position, what I have to serve God. When you have it, they'll always be mentioned in the Bible. One time I preached a message called Easter Personalities. And I mentioned all the people that were added to the story of Jesus dying on the cross. Included all these, Joseph of Arimathea and all these guys. Yes, because you will remember them. He came to commit himself when Jesus was dead. Yeah. Wow. The greatest in the East. Let's keep watching and see if he will be called a servant. And his sons went and feasted in their houses, everyone in his day, and sent and called for their 3 sisters to eat and drink. So it was one day when the feasting was going about, Job sent and sanctified them, rose up early in the morning, offered burnt offerings. For Job said, maybe one of my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus did Job continually. Now, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came. And the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? And Satan answered the Lord, saying, from going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. Hey! People are, you know, are amazed. That's why this verse is one of the reasons why people believe that Job is the oldest book in the Bible. Yes. Because it was a time that God would even ask Satan, some, where are you from? Coming from? And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, the richest man in Asia? Hast thou considered my servant Job? The biggest top man in the East. Have you considered my servant? He didn't call him that wicked man. He said, my servant. You will be called the servant of God. You will be called the servant of God. And I know God is raising up people who are going to be called servants of God. Amen. Yes. So those of you who are not becoming full-time clergy, you are 100% included in this servant message. That's why I'm preaching it. Whatever you do, you are going to be a servant of God. No matter the height you go to, you're going to be a servant of God. No matter where you get to in life and ministry in this world, you are going to always remember, I came to church and they preached and they said, you don't have to be a priest, full-time priest, to be called a servant of God. If you do, if you are a full-time priest, fine. No problem. But you don't have to be. One day I went to the East. Do you know the East? Yes. I was in Asia. And I think it was, I don't know, the first time I was in that country, in Malaysia. Hey, you should go to Malaysia. Father, thank you for 7 people who are have an opportunity to go to Malaysia. Now, yeah, those who receive, they'll be traveling. Yeah. Now, you see beautiful skyscrapers which you don't see in Ghana. high. They had the tallest buildings in the world at the point. And one night, the pastor took us out for dinner. And we went to a revolving restaurant. The restaurant, when you sit in a restaurant, it goes round by itself. So you see this part of the city. You see, you don't know that it's moving. You don't feel that it's moving, but it's moving. And it goes round. So you see the whole city. Wonders. You'll be there. Now, when we finished and we came back, we were driving. Then the pastor pointed, do you see that tall building there? I said, I see. He said, do you remember the man you prayed for in church? I said, which man? He said, no, the man, he was wearing a red shirt. You wouldn't know. Where's Tara? Tara, stand up. Yes, something like this. Come. His church was not even tucked in. He was just wearing a red shirt. I called for some people and he came. And the pastors, when he came forward, this big rich man, I didn't know. You not know that he's a rich man in any way. There's no sign. He's only wearing a red shirt. I didn't know that the red shirt have any meaning. I don't know. But I prayed for him. I didn't, because the pastor said, oh, please pray for this one also, because I may not pray for everybody. So I prayed for him. He said, the man wearing the red shirt, you see that skyscraper there? He owns it. I said, wow. Thank you, brother. Come, maybe you may get some blessing. Then, when we got to our hotel, which was also another skyscraper, and we got out of the car, I said, and he, by the way, he also owns the hotel where you are staying. And that, because he owns the hotel, he gives us this, where you stay, which was a suite. It's for you. And he said, when I travel, he pays my tickets, if I'm going anywhere. Don't clap yet. Start to do before you clap. If I'm traveling, he pays. He just pays whatever you are going to. This is the ticket. He pays. Yes. To be of use, a servant of God. Yes. Job was such a servant of God. There are people who are die-hard NDC followers. When you see them, they will even sacrifice whatever is true. Die-hard, and they will kill. I hear they were fighting. Did they kill somebody? They were hurt. They will die for it. But when it comes to the church, and some people, they are all in churches. They are all in churches. They will never fight for anything or fight for you. They will fight, blows, kill, fight, and you have to be very careful. Yeah. But when it comes to the church, the work of God, the pastor, you just look. But you see, that's why such people are mentioned. Have you seen my servant Job? Have you seen my servant Job? Not a pastor. He's not clergy. Not wearing collar. He's my servant. It's written as his servant in the Bible. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, multi-millionaires, God's servant, King David, God's servant, Moses, founder of a nation, first president, servant of God. Governor, Zerubbabel, servant of God. Sit down and always be a servant of God. But it's going to get even more shocking. Shocking. This one is going to shock you. And then after shocking you, I give you the last one to calm you down. How many are ready for a shock? Fasten your seatbelt, everybody. Just fasten your seatbelt. I'm going to introduce you to the next well-known servant of God, but your seatbelt must be on. Have you fastened your seatbelt? Okay. Jeremiah 25, verse 8. Don't be worried that the verses are in the Old Testament. It's good. Jeremiah. Therefore, thus says the Lord, because you have not heard my words, behold, I will send and take the families of the north, saith the Lord, and Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar. Are your seatbelts on? I said, Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant. Nebuchadnezzar. Are you shaking with shock? Shake, shake, and let's see. I want to see your. Yeah. Nebuchadnezzar is called the servant of God in the Bible. What a shock. Hey! I'm bringing Nebuchadnezzar, my servant, and I will bring him against this land and against the inhabitants. He will be of use to me. He will render assistance to me. Yes. He'll carry out my wishes. A servant, if you didn't write this definition, is somebody who serves the interests of another. He serves the interests of another. He serves the interests of another. This is a big shock. You are now understanding why I told you to fasten your seatbelts. And finally, Leviticus 25. If thy brother that, verse 39, if thy brother that dwelleth by thee is waxing poor. I mean, you can change to another version if you like. If your brother, NIV maybe, is gets poor and he's sold. If one of your brethren who dwells with you becomes poor and sells himself to you. Let's go back to the King James. You shall not compel him to serve as a bond servant, okay? But as a hired servant, as a sojourner, he shall be with thee, and he shall serve thee unto the year of Jubilee, with the year of freedom. And then he shall depart from thee, both he and his children with him, and shall return unto his whole, his own family, and unto the possession of his fathers. Okay, verse 42. For they are my servants, which I brought forth out of the land of Egypt. God's people. He says, look, they are my servants. The whole country are my servants. The whole country, they are my servants. In verse 55, he says, Leviticus 25, verse 55. For unto me, the children of Israel are servants. They are my servants, whom I brought up out of the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. I am the Lord your God. Amen. Amen. I am the Lord your God. Many people see the church as something to make money from. To do business. That's why I have all these people coming to line up. If you go to the Kodesh, you see them. They form a market. They see the church as a place to get money, to get some. When they are coming to negotiate, they say, Lighthouse, first, oh, okay. Then they start to smile within themselves. This is a chance to make some money. Yes, this is a chance to make money. But they don't know that this is a chance to be blessed and to serve God. Now, I'm watching all of them. That's why I always encourage people when they want to do something for God, be blessed. Do it and be blessed. Yes. It's not everything. And there are people, because of certain things they've done, I always, when I have to choose someone, I always remember, no, this man, let's rather go with this person because this one, he came to help. Yes. Even I remember. I always remember all the people that I've helped in my life. That's why sometimes you see a strange person. One day I was going for a funeral in America. I mean, I don't go for funerals. I don't like such things. You know, it's not my culture. I don't have that culture. Hey. But I was here. You see me going for a strange funeral. So I said, where are you going for? I said, I'm going for one of our members is dead. One of our lay pastors. I said, this girl, she was at NTC. When we started the church at the canteen, she was always with me there. She would come to church. She was helping everything. I remember her from Kolebu. And when we went to America to start a church, she rose up strongly. And she said, there were only five people. I preached to five people the first service. We have thousands of members in America now. But there were five people on that day. And she was sitting there. She convinced her husband. She told her husband, look, because the husband had bad thoughts about Ghanaians. She told him, he said, look, I know these people. This is where I was. She convinced him. And he came to join her. He even became a pastor. So when she died, I told my wife, I'm going. I'll be there. I'll stand by her grave. And I'll bury her myself. I won't leave it for anybody. Yes. Because I remember. And God remembers all the people who, no matter how small, no matter you do, you may wonder what is it that you do, but just a word. Very crucial, very important. Just a help. So don't see the church as a place to make money or a place to even find a beloved. See it as a place to serve God. That's all. This is my chance to serve God. Yes. Look at a young man who was giving a testimony today. I'm to drugs, I'm to this. It's young people. The whole of Legon is full of young people into all these things. Is it not true? Yes. And God is going to use you to touch their lives and to change people. Lift your hand and say, I'm a servant of God. Job 36 verse 11 is your memory verse. Your memory verse. If they obey him and serve, they shall spend their days in prosperity. And right by the prosperity, cash in the bank. And their years in pleasures. By that one, right, swimming. Beach and pool. Swimming, beach and pool. You'll be there. Yeah. I said you'll be there. Yeah. You will go into the pool and come out and eat what? Hamburger. Then you go back in and come out and eat what? Chips. Then you go back in and come out and drink what? Coke. Ah, these are pleasures, pleasures. You and your wife, either on a honeymoon or renewed honeymoon. You'll be there. One of these days, there's going to be a mighty Olympic pool in Mampong. Because I need people to learn how to prepare for what? Prosperity and pleasures. Hey! I love it. Stand to your feet, everybody. Job 36 verse 11, if they obey and serve him, they shall spend their days in prosperity, which is into brackets what? Cash in the bank, and in their years in pleasures, into brackets, swimming in the pool and swimming on the beach. I love it. I love it. I love it. Do you love the word of God? Is the word of God nice? Is it not a nice thing to hear the word of God? Wow, it's just amazing. It's just fantastic. It's just supernatural. Wow. Lift your hand and just commit yourself. Say, Lord, that's me. I'm here. If Nebuchadnezzar can be a servant, hey! Then, Lord, I am also your servant from today. I thank you. I thank you for your blessing and for your word. We give you praise. We give you praise. We thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. as we gather, Lord.
As we gather, may your spirit work within us.
As we gather, Lord.
As we gather, may we glorify your name.
Knowing well
that us, our hearts begin to worship. Oh Lord, we'll be blessed because we
are. Are you blessed because you can? Spend your days in prosperity and your years in pleasures. As you serve God and you are of use to Him and you have great assistance to Him, and as you contribute continuously to His work and to His service, you will spend your days in prosperity and your years in pleasures. We give you praise, Father. We thank you for calling us, for using us, for choosing us, for bringing us to here. That all these people were serving you. We also like to be one of the people that you will one day write and say, Dad, he was Mills, my servant. Thank you that you also write our names and say, Rebecca, my servant, John, my servant, William, my servant. Thank you that we'll be called servants of God. We are grateful. We thank you. And we pledge ourselves today. Lord, whatever we can do, let us do it, Lord. Whatever we can say, we want to say it. We give you thanks and we give you praise. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. As every head is bowed, every eye closed, if you are here this morning, you want to give your life to God, give your life to Jesus. Pastor, pray with me. Somebody invited me. It was raining, but I decided to come. Maybe you are here, you don't know Jesus as your Savior. But today you want to say, Lord, I want to turn away. I want to turn away from every evil thing that is in my life. I want to turn away. And I want to come to Jesus. I want to stop fooling around. Maybe you are here. You are not serious. You are Christian, but you are not serious. But you want to say today, Pastor, I want to be serious. I want to take God seriously and serve God for the rest of my life. If you are here today, you want to give your life to God, I want to pray with you. If you are here like that, lift up your right hand. Just your right hand up high. And I'm going to pray with you. Just lift it up high. Don't think of somebody you are standing by. That is not what it matters now. What matters is your life. Your soul is more important than the whole world. Lift it up, young lady. God is calling you today. Today is a turning point in your life. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. If you've lifted up your hand, come to me. Come from where you are standing. Come. Come to me right here. I want to pray with you. Come. Come unto Jesus. Come, give him your life today. Give him your life today.
Give him your life today.
Come on, my friend, from the back.
Come on.
I'm a Christian, but I'm not serious, but I want to be serious. Come on. Come on.
Let him have.
Stop debating in your heart. It's time to surrender.
Come unto Jesus.
Come
unto Jesus.
Give him your life.
Give him your life today.
One more person, please. I'm waiting for you. I'm a Christian, but I'm not serious. I don't know God, but I want to know God today. Lift your hand and come. I'm giving you the last chance. If you don't come after the service, you will be worried. You'll be saying, well, I should have just gone. Why didn't I lift my hand? Why didn't I come? I'm giving you the chance. Come on. Come on. Encourage them. Encourage them. God bless you. Give him your life today.
Come on to Jesus.
Come on. Come on, my friend. I'm giving you a chance. God is calling you. Come on.
Let him have.
You'll be worried after church. After church, you'll be saying, but Mika, why didn't I go? I should have just gone. I should have just gone. What was I thinking about? Why didn't I go? Now I'm not sure of myself. You should have just come. God bless you. Lift your hands. Let's pray. Say after me, Jesus. Please forgive me for my sins. I open my heart and I repent of all my sins. As for sins, I've been committing them. As for sins and bad things, I've been doing them. But today, I confess. Forgive me, Jesus, and wash me. Cleanse me with the blood of Jesus. Today, I open my heart and I receive Jesus Christ as my Savior, my Master, my Lord, and my Savior. Thank you, Jesus. Please write my name in the book of life. From today, I will serve you, Jesus. From today, I will follow you, Jesus. Thank you for saving me today. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Now lift your right hand like this. Say, Satan, listen carefully. In the name of Jesus, I rebuke you. I curse you. I reject you. I will not serve you again. I will not follow you again. I belong to Jesus Christ, and I will serve Jesus Christ. Lift your two hands. Say, Jesus, thank you. I belong to you. Help me to serve you. Help me to follow you for the rest of my life. In Jesus' name I pray.
Amen.
Wow. Give the Lord a clap offering. Now, all of you who have come to the front. Sister, what's your name? Deborah. Which school are you in? Aviation. Okay. God is changing your life. Amen. Your life is changing, turning. And you, your life is turning. What's your name? Paul. Do you know the meaning of Paul? It's a big name. Every one of you standing here is a turning point in your life. Amen. No, you see, everybody has a turning. Did you hear the guys giving the testimony? Say that there is a day that enough, every problem must stop. All bad things must stop. Everything has a day that it will stop and it must stop. And today is that day in your life. Amen. Amen. So I'm giving you one of my books. Most people want to buy this book. This book is about 40 CDs, but I'm giving it to you free of charge as a gift. Why? Because it's a special thing that you must have. And how many of you want to know how to pray to God? Read your Bible. Pray every day. Pray every day. Pray every day. Read your Bible. Pray every day. If you want to grow. If you want to grow. If you want. To grow? Are you going to grow? Are you going to serve God? Is it a good thing to serve the Lord? Yes. This church, this building is your home because God has met you here. Jacob rose and said, I didn't know that God was here. I believe when you were coming in the water, you didn't know that God was here. And God has arrested you today. Your life will never be the same again. No boy can replace Jesus Christ. no husband, no man, no woman. Today I set you free from any chain to any man or any human being that will keep you back from God. You are set free and delivered in the name of Jesus. All forms of boyfriends are disconnected from your life in the name of Jesus. And you are free to serve God from today in Jesus' name. Amen. As soon as we close church, this left side where there are no chairs, come there. We are going to put some chairs there to meet with you, especially for just 5 minutes. Okay, as soon as we close, just come there and it will be a blessing. Do you have phones? You have your phone. When you come, I'm going to show you something on your phone, okay? So come there. It's going to be a blessing to you. Amen. God bless you. You may go back to your seats. Please be seated. We are going to have communion now. What a blessing. Now, how many know that this venue is actually on campus? Did you know that? Because Legon has extended all here to even behind. There are some hostels there. So, and even the UCF, University Christian Fellowship, were asking to use here for their all nights or something because they couldn't get the cafeteria. And we said, yes, they can use it. They didn't ask me in time. I said, yes, they can use it. You told them, yes, they can use it because it's part of the campus. So anybody on campus anywhere, never say to yourself that the place is far. There's nothing like far when you are going to see your boyfriend. To be impregnated and find money for abortion afterwards. True or not true? So this place is not far. It's rather within, because some of the hostels are even beyond. Yes. And if you come from campus, you can just walk here. When you go up here, UPSC, then you turn left, you are at the gate. Yeah. So, everyone on campus who are following devils, God is going to use you. Wisconsin, God is going to use you. UPSC, God is going to use you. Ideal College, God is going to you. We are surrounded by people that need the Lord. Are you ready for that wonderful mission? How can people die and go to hell whilst we are here? Ah! Then it means we are not effective. It means we were not effective if they go to hell. And every branch is important. Look at the brother who gave the testimony that he was invited to a branch. Who is that? Where was he? Where was he? Erasmus. How many people were in that branch? Come. How many people were in that branch? About how many? 13 people. It's okay. 13 people. There were only 13 people in the branch. That's just look at the soul. It's worth more than the whole of Canada. It's worth more than the whole of Canada. Because a soul is more than the whole world. So you may have a church, a small church, 13 people. You may feel that, oh, this is 13 people, guys. It's not what I couldn't do here. Somebody has done it in that branch. So never think that anything is too small. Look, people who despise small things. Bible says, who has despised the day of small beginnings? Small thing. Everything church starts with small. The kingdom of God is a mustard seed. That's how everything church and God starts small, as if it's not doing anything. It's taking over your life. Me, people who laugh, those who laugh at me, they laugh at me. I'm like, where are they? One of my branches is bigger than their headquarters. They are laughing. You are laughing at me. Now my branch is bigger than your whole headquarters. Somewhere that I don't even go to. So continue laughing about nothing. And let's be real. I'm telling you. Few people, it's God's training ground for your pastoral work. Yes. Some of you cannot sing on this stage, but you can sing to 13 people. Make all your mistakes. Soprano, you sing alto, you mix everything. You change keys. One song, you change keys twice, three times. There is a place for all those things. Later on, you see that you are moving higher and higher and higher. And one day you see that you are in a stadium and they say, shall we welcome Sister Rose to sing a song? But I say, wow! Alright, let's stand up and receive our Holy Communion.
Brothers, sisters, we are one, and our lives have just begun. In the Spirit, we are young, and we'll live forever.
Father, we thank you. This bread is declared to be the body of Jesus Christ. Your word said, whosoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has life. Thank you for an extension of 10 years of life following the eating of this communion and the eating of this flesh and the drinking of this blood. We receive the life that was promised by Jesus Christ. As we eat of the flesh and we drink of the blood. Thank you, Father, for your great provision. In Jesus' name, receive the body of Jesus Christ. And now, whatever mistake you made 5 years ago, whatever mistake you made in your school, whatever mistake you made earlier, by the blood which cleanses us from all our sins, as we receive this blood, my blood is drink. That means the drink is blood. My blood is drink indeed. That means that the drink is blood indeed. The drink is the blood. You are about to drink the blood. And as you drink the blood, whatever dark spot remains in your soul and in your life is wiped away by the blood of Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. Receive the blood of Jesus.
On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross,
where the dearest,
where the dearest and best, for a world sinners lost.
So I'll cherish
the old rugged cross
till my trophies are laid down.
Till my trophies at last are laid down.
I will cling to the old rugged cross.
I will cling to the old rugged
and exchange it someday Lay your hands on your body. Father, thank you for healing for our lives. I rebuke devils, diseases, stomach cancer, stomach diseases, tumors, skin rashes, eye conditions, menstrual bleeding, abnormal bleeding, infertility. I curse you. Go out now in the name of Jesus. Every strange disease, every strange diagnosis, every unknown disease that fastens itself to you today, I curse it and I say, drop off now in Jesus' name. Whatever wickedness and evil has targeted you, I block it by the blood of Jesus. Whatever disease has targeted you, you are escaping now by the name of Jesus and the blood of Jesus. Every part of your body is declared perfect and whole in Jesus' name. Your immune system is declared normal in Jesus' name. Your blood is normal. Your blood cells are normal. Every aspect of you is normal. Receive it in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, thank you for healing. And thank you for whatever problem we have, financial. Financial, Lord. Financial. Send help from afar. Whatever is not in the life of Christ cannot be in our lives. Take everyone here out of difficulty. Surprise everyone by an angel. This week, Lord, send money, send help, send solutions, send deliverance. In the name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord. You have done a great work. We give you praise. We give you glory. Lift your hand and just thank God for healing. Every aspect of your life is declared whole and normal. Even disease you are not aware that you have, you are healed of it as you are standing there. In the name of Jesus. Thank you for your blessing. Thank you for life. Long life enough to serve God. We love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen.
We believe you have been blessed by the preaching of God's word. For audio CDs, DVDs, books, and other resources by Dykewood Mills, please visit our website at www.dykewoodmills.org. God richly bless you.